Watching that video alone, there's a part of me that just is overwhelmed by the depths of our God's love for us. What an amazing day to get to gather together. What a gift. Thank you. We can do it without you, whether online or here. Thank you for being a part of this day. I thought about starting the sermon by talking about a victory some of us hope we see later this afternoon. Some of y'all get it. The Vols play this afternoon, in case you're wondering. For those of you who like crimson, you experienced it last night. But I won't say that. I won't start that way. Actually, I'm going to start with a story that you may relate to in some ways. It was September 11th, 2001. I was working for a residential psychiatric facility for adolescents as an educator. And we had two buildings. We had 80 students that lived with us. They were in state custody and they lived with us. That makes it residential. These two buildings had 80 students between them. On the morning of September 11th, 2001, we had a really big meeting that morning. It was a meeting that those of us in leadership were not looking forward to. But we had to go, and lots of our staff had to go. In June of that year, we had had a young man take his life under our care. It's the last thing you want to happen. And with that, not only did we deal with our own challenges, our own experiences with his death under our care, we also came under incredible scrutiny by the state of Tennessee, rightfully so. And yet some of it felt more than needed, particularly in the public eye through media. On that morning, we gathered, and I was walking from one building to the next, and a coworker was getting out of his car, and he said, "A plane has flown into one of the World Trade Centers." And we're like, "That's weird. That is really weird." And then we went to this meeting, and I've been reflecting. I think we had cell phones then, but I know we didn't have social media. So the amount of information we got while we were in this room, which was on our ground floor, there were no windows, there was nothing. We're just all crammed in this room with this guy who I can't remember his name, but I remember what he looked like vividly. And he was speaking sternly and seriously to us. And someone came to the door and pulled me out and said, "We want to know, can the students watch what's going on?" And I'm like, "Well, let's go see." Because several years before, we had had the Oklahoma City bombing and we'd learned some lessons about what we showed during that time. And I went to look, and as I'm literally watching the first tower falls, I look at the lady beside me and I went, "No. We don't know what's going on. We just don't know." And I say, "No." I walk back in the room and we're still all crammed in this room and it's a serious conversation. And I walk in and I whisper to someone beside me and go, "A tower just fell. Like, this seems to be a big deal." But yet we stayed. Finally, we had a break. It felt like days before we had a break, but we finally had a break. And as we went to look on the TVs and to text and have conversations, I think we had text then, it became very apparent there was something bigger than we could ever imagine that was going on that day. As we came back together as a group, the leader, the guy who I don't remember his name, he sent us all out. He said, "We're done. My son is in the military. He was stateside. He is being..." Whatever, he was heightened alert, and that man got in his car to drive back to Nashville. All of a sudden, we were all on even ground. I remember that day wondering what was next. That's what we talked about. What city? What was next? We had no idea what was coming next. A couple of years after that, there was an exhibit at the East Tennessee History Museum that my husband and I went to, and there were artifacts from that time, and there were exhibits, but the thing that resonated most with me was a video, 10 to 15 minutes long, of clips of Peter Jennings running through the activities of that day. And as I watched it, I was like, wow, it didn't feel like it did the day it happened. Because the day it happened, we didn't know what was next. We didn't have 2020 vision. We were living it in real time. In no way is the resurrection of Jesus Christ close to 9/11. And yet, I reflect, and I hope you will too, as we look, as we listen to what Sabina read to us, they were living it in real time. They didn't have the perspective of hindsight. Though he had told them this was going to happen, even though he had talked about this, they were living it in real time. For many of us, we're here today because we come to church on Sundays and we look forward to this day. For some of us, we come to church often enough that this is our routine. For others of us, we come especially on Easter. I get it. I've done that. Those years that I showed up on Christmas and Easter looking for something, looking and hoping. Just a side note, I remember I visited a church several Easters in a row, and I left that church with no one talking to me. If you are sitting in a pew and you don't know who's sitting around you, even though if you're like, I probably should know them, be sure that everyone leaves here today with someone saying, Happy Easter, what's your name? Double check that today. You see, Easter seems predictable. We've been doing this. I remember Easter as a kid. But you see, Easter can seem predictable, yet Easter is anything but routine. It's not. It may feel like it for us, but Easter is not routine. Sabina read the story that we find in Luke, where the women come to the tomb and he's not there. He's not there. That's where he's supposed to be, but he's not there. The two men that are believed to be of angelic form, they say, why are you looking for the dead amongst the living? They tell him to remember. And then they go to tell. You see, Easter is about more than the expected. It is about the surprising. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is so surprising. Remember Christmas? God came to be with us through Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, born into the unexpected. He didn't come as a king. He came as our Savior. The unexpected, the surprising. He called no names and non-traditionally trained persons to join him. He didn't call the religious elite to follow him. He called the fisherman and the tax collector. He didn't look the part of the Messiah, of the military conqueror. He was rejected by the religious expert. He healed the blind and the sick and the tormented. He healed the lady who wanted to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. He forgave. He commanded to love our enemies. He welcomed the sinful woman who poured perfume on him. He calmed the storm. He fed the masses with very little. Guys, that's not expected. Our Savior is incredibly unexpected. He tells the story of a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And it all demonstrates the depths of God's love and grace for each of us. He tells of a foreigner helping a man injured on the side of a road. He was betrayed. He was tried unfairly. He was condemned. He was crucified. And he rose. It's incredibly unexpected. If you came for the expected, may you leave knowing that our God is very surprising. Not only then, not only in the telling of his story, but in our stories as well. It's unexpected. It is surprising. Easter is not only surprising, it's about more than looking too. It is about remembering. They went looking for Jesus. They went to tend to him. And yet he wasn't there. And when they were asked, why are you looking for the living among the dead? They were told to remember. To remember what they had been told. What is it that you need to remember about God today? Is it that you need to remember the basics of who our God is, that he created us in his image, and that yes, sin is a part, and yet sin doesn't get the final word? Do you need to be reminded about God's grace in your life, no matter what you've said or left unsaid, done or left undone? No matter the depths of grief you are in today, no matter the depths of your addiction, no matter the depths of sorrow, our God's grace is there. Remember. Remember what you have heard and seen about God. Maybe it's been a long time since you really heard him or seen him. Maybe it's about us looking a little more intently for him in our lives. Maybe it's about talking a little less and listening a little more. What is it that you need to remember about our God, the God who rose? It said, then they remembered. May we have those moments on this day and the days to come where we go, oh yeah, oh yeah. Life is hard. Life happens while we're living. And there are times we have these experiences in our lives that change us. We're never the same again. And yet our God is always the same. Always present, always powerful, always knowing. Do you need to be reminded of that today? We, like the women, need to remember. Easter is also about more than death. It is about living. In preparing for this sermon, I read this thing that I'm like, well, no joke, Brooke. Like, really? That shouldn't be like shocking. But we spend so much time focusing on the empty tomb, and it is empty. But what our focus needs to be is that he is risen. The tomb could be empty for lots of reasons, but the tomb is empty for one reason. He is alive. Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Are there parts of your life that are dead? Are there parts of your life that need to die and be resurrected again? In the fall, in November of 2016, there was a devastating fire in the Smoky Mountains in Gatlinburg. Many of y'all may remember that. It was crazy what happened. It started as a small fire days ahead. They kept it contained, and then a perfect storm happened. A perfect storm of unexpected and not normal low humidity. I mean, let's say we're not known as low humidity here a lot. Low humidity. They predicted the day before that the gust of winds would be 40 miles per hour. They were over 80. And the drought was exceptional. And in the midst of those conditions, we had a fire that was devastating. 14 people lost their lives, 190 people injured, 17,900 acres burned, 2,460 structures destroyed. It was devastating, and there was death. There was death of nature. There was death of people and property. There was death. I was planning to go to the mountains. It was around my birthday, and I always try to hike around my birthday. And I was planning to go to the mountains, and that part of the national park was closed, but they opened it the morning I was supposed to go. Guess where I went? I went where the fire had been. It was eerie. Like there was barely anybody in the park. And the park had done such a great job at the overlooks that looked to where the devastation had happened. They had experts there. Park rangers, National Forest folks, they were there. They had maps and they were answering questions. And guess what? I had a couple of questions. I really think I stood at one of those overlooks for an hour talking to one of the people. But one of the things the lady talked about was just how unusual the likelihood of that happening again. Like it's like once every 100 years. She explained that perfect storm. And then she said to me, spring is going to be amazing here because of the death. Life is going to come back here in amazing ways. We went that spring and we hiked on a small trail. And there in the midst of the ashes, you could see it. The trees were black. The ground was black. The green coming forth. Resurrection. God's perfect example of that death does not have the final word, that there was harm that happened, and yet there is life. If you came looking for death, you're not gonna find it, because our God is the God of living. Easter is about way more than death. It's about our risen Savior. God surprises. We remember it is living. And Easter is about more than believing. It's about telling. Can you imagine if those women and the early disciples who had doubts, they did. Read on in Luke 24. They had questions. They didn't all believe quickly. If you too have questions and you're not sure, can that really happen? A good friend of mine who's become disillusioned with Christianity and honestly, Christians, ask lots of good questions of me. You know, it's one thing to spend time with people who believe exactly how you do. It's another thing to get to spend time with people who challenge what we believe. One day in the midst of a conversation about faith, she asked me just point blank and nonchalantly, Brooke, do you really believe in the resurrection? And my first thought was, I'm probably in the wrong vocation if I don't. Sarcasm comes quickly. And yet, I said to her, yeah, I believe. And yet, it's a question for each and every one of us to consider, to prayerfully go to God. And can I explain all the intricacies? We take the historical evidence and there's the faith, and it is mind-blowing, but is that not what faith is about? That we can't put all the pieces of the puzzle together, but we have absolutely no doubt that we are loved and God loves us in big and beautiful ways in the hardest of heart. And we go tell. The women went to tell. The disciples told. How do we know that? Because we're here. If no one had told, we wouldn't be here. But because generations upon generations have told the story of the good news of Jesus Christ, of our Savior risen, we are here today. Not just in a place, just not at church. Hopefully, we are transformed by the good news of Jesus Christ. I got to spend about half of my life getting to be a full-time educator, and I loved it. Just loved it. Some of my favorite days, I mean, to this day, I can smell the first day of school. I know that's weird. There is a smell to it. Educators know it. And there's this enthusiasm and this excitement. It's this belief in clean slate that no matter what, we get a new start, we get a new day. Same thing is true about the first day of camp. I love it, the excitement. And then the first night of camp happens and we got a little bit of homesickness going on. Same thing with the first days and weeks of school. The honeymoon ends and you go, whew, ask an educator, it's almost April. May is coming. I think about that when I think about Easter Sunday. How we get excited and we're grateful and we dress up and we eat good food. And then Monday comes. And then Tuesday comes. And our loved one is still gone. The relationships are still broken. The desire to have one more gnaws at us. The grind of daily life is hard to negotiate. And yet you all, our Savior is still risen. Each and every day, not just one day of the year, just not one church season of the year, but each and every day, our unexpected God is risen. Remember, live, and tell the good news of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Oh Lord, our rock and our redeemer, words seem so insufficient. And you hear us. You hear those of us who were here today questioning. We showed up to hopefully get someone off our back. And that's okay. We came. There are those of us who showed up, Lord, and we could not wait to get here to see each other, to celebrate. We're excited about this day. And the rest of us are somewhere in between. And you meet us there. Lord, may we never forget the depths of your love. Stir in us a passion for remembering, for living, and for telling your grace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Concord United Methodist Church. This podcast is a ministry of Concord United, and we would love to hear from you. To contact us, please send an email to podcasts@concordunited.org with sermons in the subject line. For more information about Concord United, including worship times, service opportunities, mission efforts, and classes, please visit our website at concordunited.org. We also invite you to download and enjoy our daily devotional podcasts presented by the pastors and members of Concord United. Finally, we would appreciate it if you would leave a rating and a review of this podcast so that others can discover it and benefit from it.